as an introductory question, I've looked through the internet for some background info, and I haven't seen traces of you three playing together. So how was this trio born? Was it something like a violin and a guitar looking for a cello or some mechanism like that?
So we have all been friends a long time, and I have known Jake Schulman-Ment for many years, and we said we would come to Transylvania together, and he said to me, I'm going this week, do you want to come and do some concerts? And I said yes. But we have played together as a duo before, where we improvise with the klezmer music. And then Jeremiah and Jake also have played together, and they are friends from Brooklyn. It's all just kind of happened. Yeah, this was our first ever concert.
I would say that this is, yeah, the first time we've ever played together as a trio. And it wasn't an artistic decision, but more of a personal decision, I would say, to come here together. So, you know, Jeremiah and I used to be neighbors until I moved. And we came to Romania together last summer. I've been really wanting to keep more of a connection with this place and my friends here, because it was about 6 years when I didn't come. COVID happened, many things, you know. So I really felt it's been feeling important to me to come back. And so last summer I came back. Francesca and I, we've been talking for a long time about coming here together. She started coming here with a couple times with Zoe Aqua, who also lived here in Cluj for a couple of years. And anyway, yeah, these are just, I don't know, I wanted to travel with these people, and it does work. It does happen to work as an ensemble also. So there we go.
I'm happy to be here. I came to Romania. I was at a conference in Budapest 3 years ago, and an acquaintance of mine who has become a friend since then is Zoe Aqua, who everybody here knows, was living in Cluj. And I wrote to her and asked if I could come and accompany her on one of her research trips. And I also mentioned that I wanted to visit my grandmother's town. So my grandmother was born in a small town near the Hungarian border, Mihaifova, Viadi Mihai. And there's a synagogue there that's left, that's kind of like the last landmark of Jewish life in the town. And I had a desire to visit where she was from. I was very close to her, and she passed away a few years ago. And my family has been, she and her brothers were all born in that town. And then I've come back. This is my fourth time visiting Transylvania. And I don't know, I mean, I guess I'll just put it simply, I like it here.
Tell me one thing. Jake told that you can find the roots of klezmer here in Eastern Europe on a larger scale and here in Transylvania. But as far as I know, the revival of klezmer music happened in the West. So practically in our times you cannot find klezmorim, real klezmorim, in the whole of Eastern Europe. So what is in fact this search for the roots work like? Is it like a kind of musical archaeology? Maybe it's a very naive question, but I'm not a musician. So how does it work?
It's a really great question, and that's the center of why I came to Eastern Europe the first time when I came. I mean, really, as a child, I was growing up in New York. I was kind of a musical product of this klezmer revival in a way. And I was, you know, singing Yiddish songs as a really young kid and playing klezmer violin starting when I was a child. And I was learning from masters who had been playing with European-born klezmer musicians in New York in the 1950s and 60s and then also revival musicians. So in a way, there was a direct transmission of the tradition to me, but that was mostly an Americanized version of the tradition, which was much more heavily influenced by clarinet and drum sets and accordions, loud instruments that have more brass, you know. So some of that translates to violin, but the music that was really led by the violin was the older styles from Europe. So I had old recordings of klezmer violin made in Europe, commercial recordings, but made in like Lviv and Warsaw in the 1910s and 1915, around there. And I had clarinetists and pianists in New York to learn from. I had manuscripts. I had people older than me who had discovered these recordings and manuscripts and learned to play them. But what I did not have was somebody who really learned from a professional klezmer how to play the violin style. There just wasn't anyone. So I had to really construct my style based on all of these things, recordings, manuscripts, clarinet-centric American klezmer style, Yiddish songs that I grew up singing, but then also the big piece that was missing for me was European roots. So I came and I traveled in Greece and learned Greek fiddle style. I went to Budapest, learned Hungarian folk style, came to Transylvania, and went to Maramuresh and really discovered these old musicians who knew Jewish music. And then I went and lived in Moldavia to learn, which actually is the style I would say that has the most to do with klezmer music out of all of the places I've been. And I pieced a klezmer violin style together from like disparate parts of history and migration and geography. And yeah, so there's like all of that living in what I play.
Also and using Ukrainian, Romanian, yeah. Hungarian folk music.
Everything, yeah, it's all related. So klezmorim were paid to play music for weddings, and it wasn't only Jewish, you know, what is Jewish music? It's really a mix of many things, and it was influenced by Turkish music, Greek music, Moldavian, Romanian music, Hungarian music, Ukrainian music, Russian, up in the north even more, like it was different, more Belarusian and Lithuanian music. It also came from, there's influences from medieval Germany, because of course the Yiddish language originated there, so there's dances and melodies that come from medieval Germany. And they played, you know, whatever was popular at the time, waltzes and mazurkas, and there's even Scottish tunes in some of the old Polish klezmer family manuscripts. There was a lot of different music going on, so it's a complex thing.
Since we got here, your strong sides are klezmer and Roma music. How did they influence each other?
From what I understand, the melodies travel and people across Eastern Europe and, as Jake said, into Greece and even Turkey may know the same melodies. You might find a melody to be in Jewish repertoire, Roma repertoire, Greek, Armenian. These melodies travel, and sometimes they were definitely coming from Jewish origin, maybe if they're connected to a prayer or a type of dance or a story or a poem, something like that. And sometimes they were shared. But as Jake said, musicians from different communities played each other's music because that's what they were paid to play. It's an ongoing research to know what the truth is, to be honest. Always learning new things, new stories, new melodies, new bits of history.
Jelstrom, who also played here in Transit House, used to emphasize that there's a stronger than average link between Roma music and klezmer music. Do you find it this way?
There's some overlap and then there's some differences, definitely, because the language is different. Some of the dances are different. You know, it's a complicated. We have lost a lot of information, so we can only find what we know, and then sometimes a new piece of information comes.
I would say in certain regions, those were the two groups that were professional musicians, mainly Lautari and Klezmorim. But mostly, you know, not everywhere. In Maramuresh it was true, but much more in Moldavia, Bessarabia, Bukovina, the Romanian regions. In Transylvania, not so much, actually. It was really more Roma people who were professional musicians, there wasn't really as much of a klezmer tradition here, actually. So in some places there was much more of a connection, in other places less.
Talking about instruments, Jeremiah, when one hears about guitar, he thinks less of klezmer instrumentation. As far as I've seen and learned, guitar is something more out of the inner circle of Jewish instruments. Is it true or I'm wrong? And why did you choose guitar?
Well, I'm not a klezmer musician by any stretch of the imagination. I do different things with chazonus, which is the cantorial music, the sacred music tradition. And I'm a singer, and I write music that is based on old cantorial pieces, and I sometimes sing in synagogues for prayer services. And my family are cantors, my grandfather, uncle, and cousins on different sides of the family. I would say that chazonus is not very well understood in the Jewish world anymore, much less so than klezmer music, really. So when I'm interested in kind of the Jewish music world, I end up hanging out with people who are more klezmer-oriented. For the most part, klezmer's not the focus of my music making. I love what Jake and Francesca do, and they're a bunch of wonderful musicians, you know, especially, I think, kind of our generation has been quite innovative, you know, in rediscovering the European roots and especially the string band tradition, and that is sort of new, right? That's so that the initial years of the klezmer revival were very focused on American klezmer music and interpreted the music in a way that was focused on American musical genres of jazz and rhythm and blues and other kinds of cross-cultural borrowings, and that there's been a kind of the klezmer scene has come to focus a little bit more on the European roots of the music, which is very interesting to me because it's more like chazonus, basically. You know, it's more similar to the kind of the Yiddish expressive culture that I understand from growing up in a cantorial family. It's a sort of an interesting situation where the religious music, people sort of pay lip service to it. There are cantors, and you can go and synagogues employ someone who's called a cantor, but they don't really sing a lot of cantorial music. They do other things. You know, they teach kids, and they sing American liturgical music that's based on Jewish prayer texts, but they're not the chazonus, the Yiddish Jewish religious music. It's not really part of the culture anymore. So there are people who are interested in it, and this kind of scene of people who are revivalists of cantorial music is something that I'm very interested in. And I consider myself to be, you know, part of that scene. And so a lot of the key artists in that field are Hasidic people. And again, it's not because they grew up singing it. They've gotten interested in it. It's something akin to the klezmer revival in a way, but focused on cantorial music.
By the way, your Hungarian period, you have founded something that is called Tainzhoiz program,
yeah.
A word that all Hungarians will probably understand without problems. So why do you consider this sort of initiative important for an American community?
That's a great question. Well, as Jeremiah was talking about in relation to the cantorial tradition, I think it relates perfectly to what Jeremiah was just talking about the people hiring cantors, but what they do isn't really chazonis. The American Jewish community has lost an astounding percentage of its older Jewish traditions. There are many reasons for that, which we could get into, but that's, you know, another day. And some of it is just a feeling. I feel that it's a shame, right? I mean, it starts with a sense, a feeling in your gut that it's like, we need this, or I need this in my Jewish life. Why exactly can I articulate a very strong argument for it? I don't know, maybe. But I think that those gut feelings have a reason. You know, something we don't have is a homeland. There's Israel, but it's not a homeland of everyone.
It's a recent one.
It's a very recent one, and for many Jews, it's not particularly...
I guess it's rather a safe haven.
Well, I don't know, maybe, or maybe not. It's not so safe. It's very complicated, and, you know, all respect to Israel and people in Israel, but I never grew up feeling connected to that place in particular. It's another country.
It's not because you haven't been a European Jews who have suffered.
Absolutely, absolutely. But I grew up in New York, and I'm a New York Jew, and I feel perfectly at home in New York as a Jew. I don't need Israel for a Jewish identity. My family came from Belarus, Ukraine, Moldavia, and Lithuania. So for me, if you're interested in feeling familial roots, I mean, there are many Italian Americans who go travel in Italy and discover their familial culture. There are a lot of Irish Americans who can go to Ireland.
So it's about cultural roots.
Yeah, like it's about some sort of sense of, I mean, my family has only been in America for 100 years, and there's a lot in me that's not from there, and I'm curious about that. I think a lot of other people are, and I think it brings a lot of richness to Jewish communities to practice traditions that are old, and there's a sense of richness that you can't get from doing like Israeli folk dance, I think. So I think that Yiddish dance is a beautiful way of the Jewish diaspora expressing, the Ashkenazic Jewish diaspora expressing itself. And mostly when I'm hired to play a wedding, people know how to jump around in a circle. And maybe they do an Israeli hora, which is like a Bulgar. So I can do that. I can play a Bulgar, they can do that. But that's pretty much all they know. And how beautiful would it be if they knew many of the other dances that used to exist, that Jews used to do all the time all over Eastern Europe? I just think it's cool.
So based on your Hungarian experience, you consider or you find that this way and dealing through music is an efficient way of preserving traditions, identity?
Yeah, efficient and fruitful. I think it's... There are many ways to get in touch with identity. Dancing is a very peaceful and beautiful way to do it.
There's so many variations, dances, so many melodies. There's so many stories. And things have become quite homogenized in like modern mainstream Jewish identity. And like Jake said, there's so much has been lost. I grew up thinking that being like the Jewish kind of offering I was given growing up was boring. Because it was like, we do this, and it goes like this, and it was quite basic, very minimal. And there's all this information, history, culture, detail, which is interesting. And when I found out about klezmer music, or whatever that means these days, because I feel like, honestly, the word klezmer is now becoming... It was very useful in the klezmer revival, and now I think it's more about detail and nuance and understanding that... This tune came from there, or this tune came from there, and there's this style of dance and that style of dance. And, you know, it's not like one genre per se. It's a melting pot. Yeah. That it gave me a sense of, like, feeling proud of being Jewish for the first time ever, because I just thought, oh, my God, I can't stand the stuff that I was taught growing up. It just felt so random. Like, someone just decided, this is what being a Jew is. You're going to do this in synagogue, and then you do this on the High Holy Days, and you... eat this particular food, but there's all this other stuff.
It's like the well-known piece from the Fiddler on the Roof tradition.
Exactly. Although once they really did pick the really interestingly, they picked very key modal elements from the tradition for that musical. For that, I'm not really a Fiddler on the Roof fan, but I think they did a good job for what it's trying to be. You know, but yeah, it's given me a sense of identity, which is something I can be really proud of. And it's about research, and it's about being present and uncovering things and then being relevant about it in the present and being contemporary with all this richness that I get to learn about, you know. And I've been through doing it, especially in the UK where there are less Jewish people and therefore there's less people doing like what I'm doing. I have inspired lots of other people, and we have a nice community there as well, and it makes people think about what they take for granted or what they perceive as like the only way. It opens people's minds, and it just makes me want to do it more, really.
I have this strong feeling that although you were born in the United States and in England, you got to feel quite at home here.
No, I mean, that's why I keep coming back for 20 years. I remember the first time I came here in 2005, it was like a dream. Really, this is like something I wanted for a long time, to come to Romania. Very attracted to this place and the music here and history of it and the people.
And you also learned the language.
Yeah.
Languages.
The languages, yeah.
Same. I think my great-grandfather was from Romania. It's not that I always wanted to come here, but when I heard the music, that was when I wanted to come here. And then it took me a long time to actually make it. And now, this is my fourth time visiting. And Palinka is my... I do love it. Yeah. And the food. And also, the thing that I really love is how warm and friendly everybody is. Very nice. English people are not... We're not unfriendly, but it's different.